This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulhi Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Laqad ja'akum rasulun min anfusikum. Azizun alayhi ma anittum. Harisun alaykum. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ So my dear brothers and sisters, this course inshallah is about this work, الرَّسُولَ الْمُعَلِّمُ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the teacher, written by my teacher, Shaykh Abdul Fattah Ghuddah rahimahullah ta'ala. And before this course, I wrote a piece on this topic, you know, a few pages, and the Prophet as the teacher. Have you received that? No, you should receive and read that. So if you have read before, that's much helpful. You know, I wrote about, you know, this topic, you know, explaining, summarizing the Prophet's role as a teacher. What does it mean? So you should get a copy from Islam, inshallah. Those who don't have copy, get and read that, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no doubt, and before that actually, let me make very clear. So when I'm teaching, when you learn from anybody, not only from me, from anybody, the most important thing is that you understand. But anything that you don't understand, always keep in mind, it means you don't know it. Maybe you attend the course with the teacher, you spend the whole day, but if you did not understand him, or did not understand what he teaches, then simply it means you don't know anything, like Arabic grammar. If you learn Arabic grammar from me or from anybody, but you don't understand, then you don't know it. Learn a book of Aqeedah from someone, but you don't understand it, then you don't know it. So anything that you don't understand, it means you don't know it. The first thing is you have to make effort to understand. Okay. Anything that you miss, something is not clear to you, reasoning is not clear. You know, anything not clear to you, you must ask questions. Because if you don't ask questions, you don't make effort to understand, then you don't know. It's a waste of time. So this is very, very important. And second thing is that when you're learning, sometimes it is clear to you that you understand, but then later on you forget. So it is very important to take notes, write it down. That always the people used to say, write whatever you learn, write down. The teacher, Shaykh Al-Fattah Ghuddah rahimahullah ta'ala, whose book we are going to study, I remember once I was traveling with him, in Central Asia, and there were many scholars. So our teacher, Shaykh Abul Hasan Nadvi, was there, rahimahullah ta'ala. And Shaykh, you know, used to say many things while traveling. So Shaykh Abdul Fattah Ghuddah asked his son, Salman, write down whatever Shaykh Abul Hasan Nadvi said. Write down everything, otherwise you'll forget all that. So he used to take notes for everything. So it is very important, always take notes. Those who don't write, they forget. People ask Ibrahim An-Nakhai, rahimahullah ta'ala, the great muhaddith, and faqih, and he is the one from whom Hanafi madhab comes. He is the teacher of Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa is teacher, student of Hammad ibn Abi Sulaiman, and Hammad is student of Ibrahim al-Nakhai. Ibrahim al-Nakhai was the best teacher of the fiqh and hadith in that generation. His hadith are the best hadith, you know, they are in Bukhari, Muslim, according to many experts of the hadith. The best isnad in the whole world is basically Ibrahim al-Nakhai from Abdullah al-Mas'ud, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the best isnad in the whole world. So he's a great man. So one of his students said, I said to Ibrahim al-Nakhai, why is it that your hadith, they are not complete? But Salim ibn Abil Ja'd, who was your contemporary, studied with the same shayukh, his hadith are so complete. Why is it? Though you see Ibrahim al-Nakhai is the imam, many people even don't know who Salim is. And Ibrahim al-Nakhai is the imam. So people ask Ibrahim, why is it that your hadith are not complete? And Salim, who is not so important, but his hadith are so complete. Ibrahim said the reason is because Salim used to write and I did not write. See, even as such a great man like Ibrahim Nakhai, since he did not write, his hadith are not so complete. And people like Salim, who are not so famous, their hadith is complete because they used to write. So this is very important. People ask, one of the great Medina scholars, Ibrahim Az-Zuhri, his son actually asked him, oh my father, why is it that you and Zuhri, Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, both have used to attend the class, same time, same teachers. But why is it that Zuhri is so clever, so excellent, he left you behind? He excelled all of you. Why is it? So he said, the reason is my son. Whenever there is a class, Zuhri used to come and sit in front of the class, in the front row, the first thing. And then he used to listen everything with full attention. And he used to discuss with the teacher. And when the teacher has gone, then Zuhri would discuss with everybody in the class. Young men, you know, old men, young women, old women. Then Zuhri would go to the houses of the scholars in Medina. And there he used to discuss with the men there, with the old women, with the young women, even those girls who are sitting in hiding. They are called in Arabic language Zawatul Khudur. Those who are hiding, nobody sees them because they are going to get married. Even he used to get to them and discuss with them. That's what knowledge actually is. You know, learn from everybody, take notes, discuss with everybody until you have known your topic properly. So this is one thing, keep in mind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, certainly no doubt, he was the best teacher. He was the best teacher for two reasons. Please, can you open the window? Somebody can open the window a little bit. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best teacher for two reasons. One of them is, what he taught is the best thing, no doubt really. Everybody is teaching you what matters in this world. When you die, it ends. Whatever people, anybody, all the universities in the world, whatever they are, they teach you what is concerning this world. You die, it finish. It is not going to benefit you, not going to be useful to you. So whatever they teach you, its benefit is very limited and very short. What the Prophet taught was beneficial in this world and beneficial even when you die. Actually, what people teach is more actually skills, certain skills. What Prophet used to teach is wisdom, to make you wise. So there's a difference between these two things. When you study in the universities, you get certain skills. When you learn from a Prophet, what happens is they make you wiser. You become wise, you get wisdom. And the difference you can see really, now in our time, for example, many people who are married people from Oxford, from Cambridge, the way they behave in their marriage life is same way as any ignorant person. Reason is what they have learned is skills, but they did not become wise. They don't have wisdom about the life. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teaching was to make you wiser, to become wise. Other people teach you certain skills, like how you become a carpenter, how you become, have certain profession, how become a scientist, so many things, doctor, engineer, these are skills. But the Prophet used to teach people how to become wise. The first thing is, his teaching was so different. His teaching was to help you in this world and thereafter. His teaching was, even in this world, to make you wise, not just to get certain skills, you become wiser. Is it clear? So first thing is, his teaching was not only concerned with this world, it was also with the world after this world. So here, everybody actually is left behind him. Nobody does this thing. Second thing is, even in this life, people teach you the skills, but they don't teach you wisdom. The Prophet ﷺ's concern was to make you wise. You become wise, you can live a successful life even in this world. Even the people who don't believe in the Prophet ﷺ, if they follow his teaching, they become wise and successful people even in this world. Because he should teach people how to make them wise. So this is the first thing where the Prophet differs from the rest of the people, from the rest of the teachers. Because his teaching is the best teaching. Second thing is, most people, they teach really, the way, the method, the means that they use is incomplete means. That's why most often teachings are not successful. And that I am going to explain to you, if you look, the way I made, diagram, you can see how it helps. It will help you to understand. First thing is really, in this world, the whole purpose of the knowledge is that you act upon it. For example, if you want to become a carpenter, you learn, but you don't make anything, useless. If you become a doctor but don't use your knowledge, you know, it is useless. So every knowledge is only useful when people act upon it, when it is put in the practice. Think properly, what makes people to act upon something? Is it just knowledge or something else? What exactly happens is, when you know something, do you do it? Not necessarily. That's what you need to understand really. For example, you know, when you taste a food, does taste make you to eat food or something else? When you see something, does seeing makes you to enjoy or something else? In always try to understand really, is knowledge enough to make you do so something? For example, I know that Allah commands me to pray Fajr on that time in the mosque. I know it, but still I don't pray. You know, my hand is here, and I command the hand to move. Nothing happens. You command my hand to move, nothing will happen. Hand does not take command, you see. You tell the hand, it will not happen. Even if Allah said to the hand, move, will it move? No. The way we are actually, we don't, knowledge is not enough for us. If Allah said to my hand, move, and hand knows that Allah said move, hand still will not move. Allah commands me to pray, and I know He commands me to pray, still it will not make me to pray. Allah commands me to fast, and I know it, still it does not make me to fast. Allah commands me to pay zakat, and I know it, still I don't pay zakat. Allah commands me to be nice to the people, you know, to be kind to the people, to treat people nicely, still I don't do. So what makes people to do something? Is it really the knowledge or knowledge with something else? That what actually many people don't understand. Many people think if you know, that's enough. And then they keep failing all the time. People say this person is a very learned person. But that learned person actually is a failure in the life. He's not a good person. People could have a knowledge, but they are not good people. What actually happening is, you don't do things because you know it. You do things when you have will to do, irada, will. Without the will, nothing is done. That's what people need to do really, will. Where the will comes from? To understand how the body of the people works. How it, you get the knowledge through the senses. What is being seen, you only can know them when you see them. Knowledge, what is being seen is, cannot be achieved, attained with ear. You need to see it. Simple matter. What is being heard, you only can know when you hear. If you cannot hear, you are deaf, your eye cannot help you. Because those knowledge only come through the ear. There's the knowledge which only you can get when you touch something. If you don't touch, your eye will not get the knowledge. Your knowledge, the knowledge only you get when you smell, like good perfume. If you don't smell, your eye will not tell you what is this. Is it clear? Five senses. Five senses, you get the information through them. The knowledge comes through those five senses. That's not enough. People don't act upon anything because they get the knowledge from these five senses. Nobody does like that. What then happens is, then the knowledge is passed to the mind. All the senses, what they do? They pass the knowledge to the senses. To the mind. Then mind does a processing. Mind does three jobs. There are three functions for the mind. The first one is, whatever has been passed to the mind through the senses, mind stores it. First thing what? Storing the information. It stores the information. First thing it does. As soon as the information comes through, for example, I see someone first time, then how he looks like, it is stored in my mind. Some people's mind is weaker, they need second time, third time to see. But anyway, what happens, I pass the information to the mind, and mind stores it. So when next time I see the same person, mind will remind me, he is the same person you have seen before. Is it clear? So the first thing every mind does is what? Storing the information. It is very, very important to store the information. If people don't store the information, they will remain ignorant all their life. Information must be stored and kept in the mind. This first thing the mind does. Second thing mind does is, mind also tests the information. Testing the information, whether the information right or wrong, on the basis of the experience of what it has stored already. So for example, if I see someone and I think I have seen this person before, mind will not accept that. Mind will test really, is it really the same person you have seen before or some similarity in the face? Mind will examine, test until it is sure that it is same person. What second thing mind does? Testing the information. Every mind. So first thing is mind stores information. Second thing is mind tests the information. Third thing is mind does processing of information. Then mind processes information, meaning it builds upon that. If you know little bit, mind can work on that and actually build information upon the information. If you know A equals B and B equals C, then mind build upon that, then A equals C. Simple matter. If A equals B, B equals C, then the third information mind will build by itself. You don't need to say. You only said, I heard from you saying A equals B. And you also said to me B equals C. These two information came through my ear and the mind got them, preserved them. Then mind tested them and then built upon them the third information. That if this is true, A equals B, B equals C, then A must equal C. Is it clear? So three things mind does. First one is storing the information. Second one is testing the information. And the third one is processing the information. Meaning is building upon that more and that. What mind had done its job, then what mind does? Mind cannot decide. Mind never decides. Mind like senses, like eye never makes you to do something. Ear does not make you to do something. Same thing, mind never makes you to do something. No. It could be possible that mind got all the information and result was that smoking is very harmful to you. That what mind says. Still people smoke. Who can know this thing more than the doctors? But there are doctors who smoke. Their mind is perfect, complete. Mind says, I have tested all information, I did all processing. The summary of the whole matter is, smoking is harmful to you, but I still smoke. Because mind does not make a decision. Mind is simply an advisor, just a tool, like eye is a tool. Eye sees, mind also does its job. But mind and eyes, senses and the reason, they don't make a decision in the body. Senses and mind, they don't make a decision. What happens is, information goes to the mind, and after all processing, mind passes on the information to the heart. The heart is the center. Then after that, after receiving the information, heart makes a decision. Sometime heart will accept what the mind said, it's okay, that's fine, we should listen to this and we should not smoke. Sometime heart will say, no, leave this, I love, enjoy smoking and this and that, I don't, that's fine, you've done your job, but still I keep smoking. That what happens. So what actually happening is, the irada, the will, that comes from the heart. Heart is the king. Heart is the one which makes will and irada. And the irada is not only based on the knowledge and information processed by the mind. It actually the will is based on something else as well. The heart has something else. Heart is not only receive the information through the mind. Heart does not receive the information through the ear. Heart always receives the information through the mind. So all the information goes to the mind, then mind passes the information to the heart. But heart does not judge or does not make a will just on the basis of this information. There is something else which helps heart to make the decision and to make the will. That actually is complicated. Most hearts, what they do really is, they basically are influenced by the desire. Desire actually is very essential for the heart. If you pass on the information, this food is healthy and it's tasty, the taste that you like, the desire likes, desire, okay, let's eat it, so nice. If pass on the information, the mind, this food is very healthy, but does not have good taste, not very tasty. you know, not Indian, you know, food, then the heart will be weak because desire will not be there to eat it. Desire will say, you know, desire wants actually something that tastes. So good healthy food, though mind says this is better than the other food, the other one that you love, but the heart will not accept. Because heart basically does not only make will, because of the information, it also is a slave of the desire. Desire plays a very important role. And among the desires are, you know, desire of the eating, drinking, desire of the sex, desire of the culture. You know, you love your culture, your tradition, your people. So many, many things people do, not because it's good, because it's a culture. That's what people do, like not, you know, Indian wedding, if you see the, how they marry, it's not because that is the best way to, no, that's their culture. So that hawa, that desire. Is it clear to everybody? So this basically what happens is the heart, when it makes will, it is based on two things. One thing is the information that has been passed on to the heart through the mind. And second thing is the desire that exists in the heart. These two things. Most people, this is what they teach. That's why teachings of the most people fail. It could be possible they teach you drinking is so bad. Still people drink.
You say the will comes.
Will. Yeah, will comes from these two things. The first thing is the knowledge that you get. You know, it wills from heart. Heart is the one wills. But it wills on the base of two things. The first thing is the information that has been passed on through the mind. And second thing is the desire. The desire of the people. These are the two things that make your will. And when a will comes, then people do things. So most people, most teaching in the world, they basically are the one I mentioned, the first non-prophetic teaching. First thing, its purpose is very superficial, very not very important. It is really going to harm you sometime. And second thing, it's a very simple thing. It is very worldly, very superficial. What basically have most teachers do, they teach you through the senses. Your teaching basically comes through what you see. Most teachings are based on that basic thing. Like, you know, even science, most part of the science, the real part of science was those facts which have been observed. Isn't it like that? People observe certain facts, so they are your essential knowledge that you base. Then after that, reason. Then those information, then the scientists, what they do? They infer more information. So first thing is observation. Sometimes they have full observation, sometimes they have partial observation. On the base of those observations, the scientists, what they do? They infer more and more information. And that's what I say, you know, process by the mind, reason. Then they use reason. And then after that, they pass on information to the heart. Then heart will not decide. It will actually look its culture, desire, so many things. Like, you know, scientists, when they invent more and more new, you know, apps on the mobile phones. So no doubt certainly they do research and make effort on this and that. But motive behind that is not really the welfare of the humanity. It's actually something else. The heart has desire to enjoy the life. And enjoyment of the life is based on the power of something which is substitute to the power, and that's money. The best thing really, this make more and more money. The motive behind them to make more money. And people use them not because it's good for them. It is somehow, it is their desire. They want to talk too much, they want to anything. That's what people do. So most, that what actually happens, the information passed to the heart, because heart has got a desire, that why heart does not accept the information simply as they are. It actually only accepts, you know, information when they help the desire. If they don't, like for example, somebody looking to get married. If you tell the people the best person, which is good for him, they're not going to accept because they have got their own desire. They want the person to fit in that desire. If does not fit, they say, no, we look for someone else, third person, fourth person. What they're looking is not what is good for them. No. What they're looking actually is what they desire. That is the problem. Most people don't look what is good for them. Most people are looking for what they desire. When you go during lunchtime to eat food, you are not going to find the food that is good for you. You are going to find the food that you desire. That's what most people do. That actually, so when the people pass on the information, that's not a simple thing. So people think learned people become good. Actually, this knowledge does not make anybody good. Reason is this knowledge very easily is influenced by the desire. Desire is the one which misuse it. Then wrong will comes from the heart, wrong wills. Will should be, I should not drink. But the will comes, I should drink. Tell me this will that I should drink wine, where it comes from? Does it come from senses and reason? No. It comes from the desire which is influencing the heart. So this teaching is a basic ineffective. Most time this teaching that people do, it becomes ineffective. Reason is because the heart has got an illness and that is desire. That was the problem for, this is actually how most people teach and the problem remains all the time. Even Muslim teachers, it's the same thing. Because what the prophets do, that requires a thinking and effort. Most people, they are lazy. And using the mind is most tiring things. So people don't, even the people who teach the fiqh, aqidah, they do the same thing what worldly people do. They teach aqidah in a way, it basically just processing the information to a sick heart. Nothing happens. You know, people can learn aqidah, they're still munafiq, hypocrite. You know, they learn aqidah, they become good believer. People learn aqidah, they write the book, they discuss and kalam and this and that. Still, they don't fear Allah. They don't pray. They could be hypocrite. They could be munafiq. People can memorize the whole Quduri, Bada'u Sanaya, Hanafi madhab, this madhab, that madhab. Still, they cheat. Still, they do wrong things. Still, they do all the things. Reason is because all these people, Muslims and non-Muslims, they are following the non-prophetic teaching. That's the problem really in the whole world. Not only non-Muslims, Muslims and non-Muslims, both of them, they are following non-prophetic teaching method. That's why everybody keeps failing. That's why it could be possible that people become alim. Still, they have same problem, jealousy, hatred. They do exactly opposite of what they have been learning. They learn not to lie, they lie. They learn, you know, not to harm anybody, but they harm. They learn to be kind, but they are not kind. They learn to be humble, but they are arrogant. You can see really. And this illness is the same among the believers and among the non-believers. Problem is because we have reduced the teachings to something like that really, very superficial. Very superficial. This is not right teaching. What the prophets do? See, on the other hand, the prophets, their knowledge is not only coming, you see, their knowledge also comes through senses, no doubt. Really. The prophets also make people to see, make people to hear. Even the Quran says, don't you see? See around. The prophets also use the senses. But prophets have got an access to a world beyond the senses. That is direct knowledge without any sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends all the information to the people through their senses. But to the prophets, he sends the information also not to the senses, directly to them. Without seeing, they don't see, without it comes directly to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is revelation. So one thing is, what happens is because what people see, sometime it could be influenced by the desire. Desire makes them to see something bad as good. What is bad, desire influences, they think it is good. What happens to prophets is, because the revelation, they get revelation, so their senses become very, very pure, very clean. So they see things as they are. So prophetic teaching are, first thing is they do also same thing, you know, make people to know through senses, but also through revelation. Then after that, these two information, what people get through the senses and what they get through the revelation, these two informations are passed to what? To mind. This is right process. All the prophets emphasize on reasoning and thinking. If the informations are stored in the mind, but they are not processed properly, even if it is Quran, it will harm you. Try to understand. If you get revelation from Allah, means we can't get it, but through the Quran. If you read the Quran, you learn all the tafsir, but you don't pass on the information to the mind and don't process properly, these informations will harm you. Quran only works with the mind. If people don't understand, don't think, the Quran never can work. It is same like any information. All the information that comes through the senses and all the information that comes through the revelation, both of them, they must be processed through the mind. First thing is, those information should be stored in the mind. Second thing, they should be tested, even the Quran. Could be misunderstanding. Could be the two Quranic verses. And they have two different meanings. You have to adjust them. Meaning is you need to test information. It is not enough that Quran said. Quran has been revealed to the people of mind, not to stupid people. So if people don't use mind, they don't understand the Quran. So everybody who gets information, whether through the senses or whether through revelation, that information must be passed through the mind. And mind should do all the three jobs properly. First, store the information. Second, test it. And the third one, process it, you know, infer from it, more information. That how the Prophet himself did. You know, what he received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he processed it. Then, you know, he best tested it. Then he got the meaning. You know, sometimes it will happen. You know, Aisha and many believers, they hear a Quranic verse and they say to the Prophet, this is what it means. He said, no. Then he bring another verse. He said, no, this actually has this limited meaning, and that one has the meaning that can clarify your mind much better way. So the Prophet said, it will come, inshallah, the examples will come here. Is it clear to everybody? Try to understand in both worldly matters and religious matter. In both of them, mind is central. The most noble thing that people have been given is the mind. Anybody who does not use mind, they never can have proper knowledge. If people don't use mind, they can't be believer. If they don't use the mind, they cannot be Muslim. They don't have submission to Allah. Allah's slavery never can be done without the mind. Allah wants you to do his slavery, not through the body, through the mind first. Mind must be the first one which I believe, accept it. Can you use the mic here?
Sheikh, you said that when the prophets receive knowledge through revelation, it doesn't come through the senses, but that also makes their senses very pure.
They have pure sense anyway, but revelation helps them to purify them more and more.
Okay, how does that work?
Sorry?
Why does that happen?
Because the thing is, what people see is, sometimes, you know, I mentioned, the information are passed by through the heart, and heart got desire. So then desire influence the heart. Then heart will ask you those things which fulfills the desire. So I will keep looking those things which helps the desire to be fulfilled. You keep looking everywhere. You know, like people walk in the street, they look at the women because heart enjoys that. So, you know, he will command the eye to look at the information. So same ear, you know, the heart enjoys certain songs, certain musics. Command the ear, bring those music. I want to hear that. You know, things like that. I enjoy this taste, you know. Wine test, even haram, smoking I love, though it is haram. So what happens, heart knows it's all wrong thing, but heart has been slave of the desire, so it commands wrong thing, then senses become slaves of the desire. Is it clear? So their duty really is to help the heart, but they don't do, they become slave. Like, you know, like a bad king really, what he does, the king should really listen to the army, listen to the ministers, but bad king, they don't want to listen to them. They want them to tell them what he enjoys. Then all the people in the court, they become corrupt and they only pass on those information to the king what he loves, because he's corrupt. Prophets don't have this thing. So what happens when revelation comes? Revelation tells you, no, this is good for you. You know, but you don't know. Revelation says, you don't have this knowledge. It is better for you. Prophet believe in that and they work on that, then their eye becomes better. Their seeing becomes better. So, and anybody who follows the Prophet, that what happened to them. Is it clear to everybody? So try to understand. Anyway, so the prophetic knowledge basically combined between both of them, through the senses and through the revelation. Then both of them are passed to the mind. Reasoning must be done. Any teaching of the Quran or Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or any religious teaching which does not have use of the reason, it is corrupt, it is just a culture, it is a dead thing, no life in it. Life only comes through the mind. I try to understand that how Allah has made. Mind makes everything fresh. Mind makes everything to have proper context. Without the mind, nothing can work. Even if you learn the Quran from a prophet, if your mind does not work, the Quran is not going to help you. You know, put Quran, copy the Quran in your house. You need to use your mind. That way Quran addresses. Don't you think? Don't you understand? Quran keeps bringing all the time. Is it clear? Any information which is not processed through the mind, whether it comes through the senses or through the revelation, that information is harmful and dangerous. Mind is the one which actually does the right process, testing. It tests information, whether right or wrong. It does process properly. If people don't use mind, many, like many people, they become lazy. That's why I do taqleed. Taqleed means I have made myself like animal. I don't think myself. This thing is very dangerous for any human being. People must be able to use their mind properly. The most noble thing that human being has been given is the mind. That is the most noble thing. There's nothing more noble for human being than the mind. Mind is the one which gets Allah, which brings you to believe. Mind the one which makes you to do slavery to Allah. Mind the one which helps you to tell you what is right and what is wrong. The very, very important, absolutely important for any teaching, whether worldly teaching or prophetic teaching, mind must be used properly, thinking. When it is done, what happens in the prophet teaching, same thing happens. Then the reason pass on the information to what? To the heart. But what the prophets do, prophets know really, heart can be influenced by the desire. They know this thing. So what they do? They clean the heart. So one important the prophets do really, they make your heart pure, clean it, purify the heart. So then heart actually gets right information and respects it. If heart is corrupt, whatever information you give it, it's not going to accept. Never. Because heart is corrupt. You tell this is good food for you. Heart loves actually tasty food. But when then if our heart is pure and clean, purified, then the will comes pure will. That's why the prophets, as much they emphasize on the passing the knowledge to the people through all the process, they also emphasize on purifying the heart, to make the heart pure, clean from all the dirts. Then after that, little teaching will be so beneficial. You can discover so much. If you give people 40 volumes and 30 volumes of the book, work of the fiqh, it is not going to make them good people. Give them one small book in hadith, Muwatta of Malik, and they do properly, it will make them good person. Because being good does not come only through the information that people receive. It actually is something else. That's why the prophet's work is much more complicated. It's not easy really. It is so difficult. And also the problem really is, since people teach what people sense and what they desire, they're not a big effort for people to do. You know, for example, just they need to advertise. So people know really. Everybody loves really tasty food. Indian taste has become so popular. They don't need to convince you. This is advertised, here is Indian biryani. Then you go. They don't need to any convincing. Prophets can't do this thing. Because what prophets give to the people don't desire them. They don't desire. This is a problem. What people give to you, what people teach you, you desire. You want to become famous, they teach you how to become famous. You want to get millions of pounds, million, you want to become a millionaire, they teach you how to become a millionaire, how to get money. So you want, you know, you people want to become attractive and handsome. They advertise on the TV that this is a, you know, cream, you apply, you become handsome, then you buy. Because these are desires. Prophetic teaching cannot be advertised. TVs cannot help there. Advertising companies cannot help them. And that's why you can see when people think, many, many Muslims say that we should, you know, use all these and techniques and this and that, because our world is advanced. So then, you know, they don't understand that these techniques only help to make people unpious, to make them pious, different techniques, not the same thing. You know, they think since it helps for one thing, it will help also for the other teaching. They don't understand it will never, never help. TV can help for the first type of teaching, but TV cannot help for the second type of teaching. They don't understand this thing. Many methods, you know, mobile phones and all those, you know, people have got really, they can help for the first type of teaching, but they can't help for the second type of the teaching. Second type of teaching is very, very difficult, not easy really. It needs people trust in you. People love you. It needs all that. That's why the prophets actually are made from very beginning, attractive to the people with their manners, with their characters, with all those things, wisdom. So people trust in them. That's what it needs really. If people don't trust in them, their teaching never can be effective. Because people are not going to listen to them. Because people have a desire, they need to have trust. And for that purpose, prophets use two things. And that inshallah, that is what? Hikmah and akhlaq, good character. Hikmah, wisdom, they are wise. They think really, this person is not going to listen to me. he has got zina, he has got desire of zina. This desire is so strong to him. What can make me to make him to avoid zina? Easy. You know, to help people to do zina is easy teaching. But to stop people from zina is very difficult teaching. For that purpose, prophets use the things which can make people wiser, give them wisdom. And second thing is, what happens is, prophet's behavior, good character. When you see that person, you don't want to upset him. You say, this person, actually, he said to me, don't drink wine, though I love wine, but he is such a nice person, I can't disobey him. I love this person. He's actually so nice. When I meet him, he has so much favor upon me. He loves me so much. Someone loves me, how can I hurt him? That what the prophet do. The prophet become dearer to your heart, beloved to you through their characters. So much favor upon you, then you don't really dare to oppose them. Though you don't like to follow them, but you don't, because you think really, no, this person I can. Like your mom, you know, your mom, you know, takes care of you, loves you so much. Even if she commands you to do something which you don't like, still you'll do because you don't want to hurt her. You cannot afford to hurt your mom. So this is actually what the prophets do. So the prophetic teaching, as I mentioned, first thing is that they differ from the rest of the teaching in the purpose. Because the purpose actually is not only to help you in this world, rather than to help you, more importantly, in the next world, and also this world. So simply thing is, the end result of the prophet teaching is to make you wise and pious. A wise person who thinks and then pious, piety. People don't do this thing. They don't make you wiser. In the past they used to do, but now education does not make anybody wise. In the past, in the East and the West, everywhere, when that what education used to mean really, that when you study, you become wiser. But since industrial revolution came in Europe, then education completely differed. Now the education is no more to make you wise. Education simply is to give you certain skill, you can make more money. It is simple matter, nothing else really. So for a few hundred years in the West and then in the rest of the world, education simply means how to make more money. That's what it means. That never met in the past. So prophetic education is what? Teaching is what? First part is to give you hikmah, to make you wise. Second thing is, since you are wise, you should become pious. You should fear. You should really be careful. So they give you these two things. In the purpose, they differ. Second, they differ actually in the means. The means of other education, teaching is, as I mentioned really, what? Senses plus reason. That's the means. Means of the prophet is not only that actually. Senses plus revelation, then reasoning, then purification of the heart, then the right will comes. So when they do, and this is difficult teaching, so then the prophet use different methods from rest of the people. They use two methods which I mentioned. One is the hikmah, wisdom, how to approach to the people, and second one is good character, good manner. Good character that makes their teaching more effective. And you'll get, inshallah, examples of that in this book. The thing really is, truth, that Muslim education has become like the first one. Actually, sometimes even worse than the first one. That actually is the problem. That's the truth really. Muslim education even has become, at the moment, worse than the secular education. Secular education, what they do, they have a clear purpose to make you, to give you a skill which can make more money, give you power. They have clear, and for that purpose what they use your senses, and plus what? They use your reasoning. And then they pass on the teaching. Very clearly, that's what universities do really. Clever people are coming, you know, think and thinkers and those who use their brain. Muslim teaching, unfortunately, even has no thinking really. It is just through senses. Senses are the weakest thing. It is the basic source of information. Without the mind, you know, any knowledge based on the senses is harmful, useless. You know, nothing really, does not make any sense. Most teaching that actually happening is that what happening. Many people learn memorizing the text. Memorizing the text is actually just getting information through the senses. But then what? It's not enough that you get information through the senses to your mind and preserve it. You know, library used to exist in the library, now in your mind. So what? How if you make your mind a library, it makes a difference. Unless you know how to use it, useless. You know, if people memorize the Quran and then stop, no thinking, no understanding, no reasoning. It is same like Quran in a book. No difference, nothing there. Quran only is good for the people, the mind, when they use it, when they process it. You know, then find like Abu Hanifa and Malik and Shafi, the Quran was in their mind, but they use the Quran, they thought. But Quran in the mind, just like a library, just like in a book, is useless. People memorize the text of the fiqh. Actually, even the way they teach, just teach the text and people follow without no understanding, no thinking, no question. Tell me this teaching, you know, is Islam? Nothing to do with Islam. We have reduced Islam to something which is not Islam. It is insult to Islam. It is insult to a prophet. Any teaching where people don't use the mind, it is insult to Allah, insult to Allah's command, insult to a prophet. Not from prophet. Prophet don't do. Prophets don't teach stupid people. They teach clever people, thinking people. They want to make people wiser. And without thinking, no wisdom ever can come. So unfortunately, Muslim teaching in the world now is worse than Western teaching. They should be actually on the top. Western people should come and learn from them. But unfortunately, secular teaching everywhere in the world is much better than teachings in madrasa. What a question?
Yeah, you said that if people just simply memorize the Quran, then it's like other information, it's useless. But because the Quran is Allah's word, doesn't it not have an effect on the heart? So therefore, doesn't it change the
character? You know, think really, that's a try to understand really, what heart means. What heart means? Heart has function. If you put somewhere a Quran, if people open the heart and put a copy of the Quran in the heart, it's going to benefit. Heart has a function. You know, heart has a function. If that function not activated, if you put the Quran, you put anything, nothing will happen. Mind has a function. If you put a copy there, if somebody does operation and put a copy of the Quran with the operation in the mind, tell me what will happen. Mind has a function. People don't understand really what mind does. Mind has a clear function. If if you take minus that function, mind is useless. Simple matter. If that function is not there, mind is useless. People who have Quran in their mind, they do all the things. People can be kafir, unbelievers with their Quran. People can be hypocrite. People actually became kafir and they knew the Quran by heart. I know that there are few Indian scholars, I have read the biography, they became kafir. They knew the Quran by heart and they became kafir. Because that Quran was just a Quran in the mind, but without any reason, without understanding or thinking, nothing there. That actually what happened, most Muslims even don't understand the importance of reasoning. That actually big problem really. Leave that, if they use the reasoning, they even don't understand how important the reason is in Allah's creation. That how human being becomes so noble. And Quran said, وَيَجْعَلُ الرِّجْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Those people who don't use the mind, Allah puts dirt and pollution on their mind. Your mind becomes dirty. That's Quran said. Every prophet, beginning of their life is thinking. All the prophets, Ibrahim al-Islam, Quran, the Prophet Muhammad, and they start with doubting, question, doubt, suspicion. Then thinking and questions helps them remove the doubts. That every prophet does. That's how they start their life. So this actually, I want to waste so much time in this thing because I'm going to teach the book. But try to understand really, it is not a simple matter. Knowledge is not a simple process of reading a text. Knowledge is not seeing and hearing. Knowledge is more than that. It is really processing, passing on the information to the mind, then preserving the information, then after that testing the information, and then processing the information. If these three functions are not done, then you are jahil, ignorant, simple matter. You are not alim. Yeah. Can you use your mic so people can hear?
Refer to, if you don't use your reason.
وَيَجْعَلُ الرِّجْسَ عَلَى. Oh, I don't know where is it, but you can find the Quran. You know, the Quran says, don't you see that? لَهُمْ قُلُوبُ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have got hearts, but hearts don't do their function. The Quran says, The Quran says useless hearts. You have a heart, but don't use them. Useless. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have got hearts, but they don't know its function. They don't use it properly. Heart is there for a function. Mind is there for a function. You know, serially, you know, it's a human being, not only pretty and handsome creation. Though Quran says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنَ تَقْوِيمٍ. We created the mankind in the best structure. Quite serially, such a nice. But what does this best structure mean? It means use it. He gave you eye to use it. He gave you nose to use it. He gave you tongue to use it. That's why the Quran says in other verse, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We created the mankind in the hardship. Why? Because this structure means you're going to use it. And using it means what? Difficulty and hardship. Using the mind is, using the eyes is also difficult, but using the mind is the most difficult thing, most tiring thing. That's what Quran said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We created the mankind in the hardship, in difficulty. Though your best structure, but it means your life is suffering. Or if you do things without thinking, it is going to harm you. It is simple, because that's why Allah gave you mind. He said in the Quran, they have got hearts, but they don't think. Yeah. You know, I will have time for questions anyway. Don't worry, question time will come. I just want to, before starting this book, because this is not written in the book, so that's why I wanted to teach you in the beginning, so the book becomes easier for you to understand. And to understand really what a prophet does, what prophets do, it is very, very difficult really. When people say the ulama are, you know, inheritors of the prophets, they don't understand really. Ulama are inheritors of the prophets if they do what prophets do. If they reduce prophet teaching to something superficial, they are harming the prophets. They're not inheritors. First you understand what a prophet does. We people basically have become like people who love reduce everything. That's how human beings do. People always reduce something. Don't reduce really. Try to understand the things in full detail. Knowledge is very, very precious thing. And that's why Quran says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Those who know and those who don't know, how they can be equal? But the same Quran says that about many, many people, that these people in whom إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامْ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ. They are like animals, rather than they are worse than animals. Who are these people? Those who got all the faculties, but they don't use them. They got the mind, but they don't use the mind properly. And mind, using mind means all three processes properly. The first one is storing the information. Second thing is testing the information. And the third thing is then process it, build upon that, infer more and more, inferring from that. And the Prophet did really. All the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are his inference from the Quran. That Imam Shafi, you can see really, he learned the Quran and then used the Quran, he inferred more and more, he tested every information. You know, it is so clear from his teaching, he should test them, he should ask questions, and then after that he should build upon that, you know, make more and more information on that. That's what a mind does. A prophet without mind, not a prophet. Actually, a believer without mind, not actually a human being without mind, not a human being, like animal. And if you have people have a mind, they don't use it, worse than animals. The Quran says they have got a mind, but they are worse than animals. Unfortunately, Muslim teaching has become very, very superficial. People actually know things, but blindly. They follow people, but the Quran says believers are those la yakhruna alayha summa wa umyana. Believers don't fall upon the things as deaf people fall, as blind people. No, they hear. They want to understand, they want to see, they want to examine, they want to test. Believers don't take information as people say. Believers are open-minded people. They receive the information, they think, they process, you know, they make sense of the things. That's why the Prophet teaches is very, very difficult really. So first thing is, let me summarize again. So the first thing is, what the Prophets teach, that is the best teaching. Because its end is different really. Its end is to save you from hellfire. It is really to give you paradise. It's end you to make successful in this world and thereafter. End is to make you wiser. People don't do these things. Second thing is, people's teaching actually throw weak means, just in senses and reasoning. The Prophet's teaching is no. Senses plus revelation. Then after the reasoning. Then after that, to the pass information to heart, but make effort to purify the heart, clean the heart, then the make will, and then action happen. Since it is so difficult, prophets don't use only the method that people use. Prophets actually have two important, you know, thing in their teaching. One is wisdom. They teach through the wisdom, the wise people. And second thing is with good character, good manners. You love them, you trust in them. You think really this how good to you. If a tea, you know, I'll tell you the difference really between, this actually just came now to my mind, the difference. Difference between prophetic teaching and non-prophet teaching actually is like the difference between a mother and between a child minder. Many people think if you change nappies, you become mother. That what most teachers are. They learn how to change nappies and now teachers. Prophets are not teachers because they change nappies. They are like mothers. You know what a mother means? What a mother means and what someone who changed nappies are both same thing. A mother and someone, another woman who changes the nappies of the child are both the same thing. They are not the same thing. Child is like the mother who takes care, who loves you, who really wants to save. Not one way, second way, third. You do mistake, still he wants to save. Like a mother, child does not listen. Then another way, third way, fourth way, fifth way. Never becomes tired. Never becomes tired. 70 times, 80 times. You know, and child behaves badly, so much hurting, she does not feel anything, nothing. She enjoys that. That how the Prophet, the Quran said about the person, لَعَلَّكَ بَاقِعُ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. It seems that you are going to kill yourself because they don't listen to you. That how your mother is. Mother actually feels a heart, pain in the heart that my child doing something wrong, but still I cannot help her, him. You know, she feels this pain. She wakes for him the night, does not remind him. That how the prophets do. When the prophet was dying, he said, Ummati, my people. That how the prophet. Prophets are like a true mother, like a loving mother, like a mother who wants to take care of a child, wants to make him good. Non-prophet people are like child minders. They only teach you how to change the nappies, and they think they have become like mother. And now you think you got certificate, what it means to be mother. You are not a mother. You just only have reduced motherhood to changing the nappies. Changing the nappies does not give you authority of a mother. You are no more there. This actually what Muslims also have done. We Muslims have accepted this approach. We reduce the whole teaching, pure thing, to this small thing really. Is it clear to everybody now? This example will help you. The child is like a mother. Pure mother, clear mother, who only wants the interest of her child. Does not become tired. Child is dirty, she enjoys. She loves that. She still loves the child. She wants to clean him, but she loves him. Even the smell of the child is dearer to her heart. That how a prophet is. Prophet said, my example, your example is, you are jumping in the fire and I'm holding you with your waist. I want to take you. Same people, many times he goes, many times spends, never tired. Never tired. One teaching, second teaching, hundreds teaching, any teaching which can be useful, never tired. Teachers don't do. A professor will come to a classroom, he will do one second time, he'll say, no, do your job properly. You should listen. You know, go and do more research and this and that. He does not care whether you fail or pass. It's not his business. His business is his job, he gets salary and pass on the life. Nothing else more than that. Another one, actually most teachers think if three students pass in the class, it means that teaching was good. Do prophets do like that? Prophets want every single person to pass. They feel pain for every single person. This is the thing. The first thing, really understand the importance of teaching. That like, you know, one of the Arab persons, Qadar Rasul an yakuna muallima. Qadar muallim yakuna. You know, muallim is like a messenger. Muallim, teachers are like a messenger. But, you know, it could be. But not the teachers of our time. The way we teach is not like a prophet. Prophet actually love you. They care for you. Your pains are their pains. They want to save you. They want to purify you. They want to make you a good person. They don't worry for your enjoyment. So basically the difference between prophet as a teacher and other people as teacher actually is same or similar what I mentioned, you know, as the difference between a mother and between child minder. Difference between both of them huge. You know, don't go for just simple thing. So if you see someone changing nappies of a child, don't make judgment she's the mother. That does not give anybody authority of the motherhood. Unfortunately, most people who do teaching, if somebody teaches the Quran, does not mean really he's a teacher. Right? Even people who teach the Quran, it does not mean they're a teacher. because this book, teaching, is a big, big responsibility. It's not easy thing. You know, your child go to the mosque and learns inshallah and mashallah and alhamdulillah and you become so happy. Nothing really. Prophets don't come to teach these words to make people say alhamdulillah without any meaning. Actually, the way we say these words can be said in any place. People sometimes they say in one sentence, three times inshallah. Do prophets do like that? Have you seen any prophet saying inshallah twice in a sentence or three times in a sentence? But we say, in one sitting we say inshallah so many times. Do the prophet do? You know, in Musa alayhi salam, when he made dua, he said only once, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khairin faqir. And we say 100 times, make tasbih, 100 times, nothing happens. Prophets make one dua, Nuh alayhi salam made dua, O Allah, don't leave any unbeliever on the face of the earth. Then flood came, they destroyed. We say same qunut nazila, millions time all over the world, nothing happened, even if flies don't die, nothing happens. We curse Jews and all Americans and everybody, they still are more powerful than us, nothing happens. Because it is just words. We don't understand really, these things don't work like that. They're not a magical words. People think dua are like a magic. People, roots, surah tabarak al-ladhi, bedal mulk, you get provision, you get rich. Nothing will happen. You keep reading million times tabarak al-ladhi, still you remain poor. Because that is not a magical words. People have reduced the Quran to become magic. Quran is a guidance, instruction, do what it says, like a manual, driving manual. If you're driving a manual, you put it hang in your neck, but don't read it, read. It's going to benefit you. Driving manual, you put in your neck, make ta'weez, hang all the time in your neck, is going to benefit you. Quran is a book of instruction. It instructs you something, and you reduce it certain ta'weez, and you say those words, it is not a magic. Quran is against magic. So how can Quran become magic? People say these words, you'll be safe for everything. Actually, when they say that word, at that same moment, shaitan is influencing them. Nothing. They say this word, you'll save from shaitan. While saying those words, shaitan is there. And shaitan laughs at them. Because people don't understand, it's not so simple. Not Islam, not a ta'weed. Don't reduce Islam. It is basically human mind. That's what makes it relevant. Don't actually, you know, don't take away human mind reasoning from any teaching. Once you take it, then it becomes dead. It has no life at all. So anyway, same thing, you know, this thing applies to everything, even Arabic grammar. When you learn, if you don't understand it, how it works, you don't know it. Even Alif Ba Ta Tha joins letters. Students should be able to understand what is happening. Then they enjoy that. Then they go deep in the mind. Otherwise, just they memorize and nothing will happen. This Quran makes only sense when you understand it. And then after that, Quran says, it is Mubarakun, liyadabbaru. It is barakah, so people understand it. Not a barakah, just you make like ta'weez. We people think if you make Quran like a ta'weez and hang somewhere, barakah of the Quran will come. Nothing will happen. If you read the Quran in your house, no barakah will come. Unless you understand the Quran and follow the Quran, barakah will not come by just keeping the Quran in the house. It is where Quran says, it is Mubarak, liyadabbaru. Mubarakun fattabi'uhu. They should follow it. How can you reduce prophet teaching actually and take away understanding and thinking and act upon that? Anyway, so these are first thing I wanted to teach you. Now inshallah, in the light of that, I will select you something from this book. And no, this book actually written, as I mentioned, you know, by my teacher, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah ta'ala. Actually, he died 20 years back. He died in year, that was 1997 when he died. And alhamdulillah, I spent with him a lot of time. You know, he came to another ulama when I was a student and he gave a lecture there for a long time. He gave us ijazah. Then I spent some time with him in Riyadh, you know, in his house and reading with him and comparing the books with him. And he actually wrote ijazah for me three times with his hand, ijazah amma. And it is still written with his hand. And then he gave to me many of his books. One of them is with his own handwriting, you know, a nice dua that was did. And this one also. There's handwriting by Sheikh Al-Fattah Abu Ghudda rahmahullah ta'ala. So there are a few books, like, you know, he used to write very nicely and sometimes very long, very handsome writing. And he was a man doing everything nicely, properly. To do things, you know. When he's doing anything, he does it nicely, properly, takes time and does the thing, never rushing. So I've seen many, many things, and he would ask me, because, you know, that time my Arabic was not so strong. So I remember that sometimes he would test me. So, you know, once he was, you know, tying something with a rope, and, you know, it rope actually, you know, could open in nylon. So he was burning it, so it cannot, you know, can become, you know, fixed. So he asked me why I'm, you know, burning it. He just wanted to test my Arabic, so I say, لِيَلَّا يَنْحَلَّ. You know, but actually he used another expression, I don't remember now, so he corrected me. So, you know, I have seen really that, you know, his way was so different. He said, you know, in Arabic, you know, in Urdu, we have this fruit we call Sharifa. And Sharifa means noble woman. Noble woman, the Sharifa, Sharifatul. So he said to me, oh, you Indian people, ta'akuno Sharifa, ta'akulunaha. You eat Sharifa, noble woman. So that, you know, he just wanted to make a joke. So I was speechless, I did not know what to do. So he said to me, but no, you should say to me, Antu ayyuhal Arab, ta'akunul khiyar. You know, cucumber in Arabic is khiyar. And khiyar means good people. So you Arab people use khiyar, ta'akunul khiyar. So, you know, as he mentioned, you know, he's a thinker. He said, you see, his mind. When he came to Saudi Arabia, because, you know, there are more those, you know, type of extreme Salafi people. So once he said, I was teaching Madinah Munawwara. During my teaching, his Sheikh Abdul Fattah Wudah said to me, I said Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. Those days, those Salafi people did not like to say Al-Madinah Munawwara. They used to say Al-Madinah only, not Al-Munawwara. So he said, just out of my habit, I said Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. So one of the Salafi scholars stood up in the class and he said, Al-Munawwara bimada, enlightened by what? So because they think, you think by the grave of the Prophet. So they think it is shirk. So he said, as soon as he said Al-Munawwara bimada, it came to my mind the answer. I said Al-Munawwara binuzul al-wahi, because the revelation came here. So nothing, you know, it's peace. So Shaykh, alhamdulillah, you know, really great, and he did so many books. And all his works are really nicely done. You know, he used to work and give time. Some of them published, not published in his time. Then his son Salman, he published some of them, you know, later on, and still going publication, going, you know, happening. And among his book, best works are this one, are also Safahat min Sabr al-Ulama. That book is a very thick book. That is the history of the scholars, how they, you know, they did all the suffering in the path of the knowledge, with hunger and with, you know, all the, you know, poverty, and how they still they remain, you know, in the path of the knowledge. Very nice story. Actually, you know, it motivates you. It's very important. So people should study that book of Sheikh Safahat min Sabr al-Ulama. He also has written a book, Qimatu Zaman, Value of the Time, how the time is important for the people. So that book also, you know, people should learn. And one of them is this, Ar-Rasul al-Muallim, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a teacher. You know, and actually, you know, this is going to, I read from a book, inshallah, that how the Prophet is a teacher. Anyway, so now if you have any questions, please ask.
Any louder? Is that book available in English?
Which book?
The one that we're referring to today.
Ar-Rasul al-Muallim. This one?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, there is a copy in our English, yeah. There is.
Jazakallah. Yeah. Also, Sheikh, with the model that you've set out, the prophetic teaching model, are there any ulama who precede Sheikh Abdul Fattah al-Ghuda in this model?
Sorry, what was it? Or that the Prophet, he follows that.
The teaching model, yeah. Are there ulema who precede Sheikh Abdul Fattah al-Ghuda in this model?
You know what I have thought now? This is really my own understanding and thinking. This you don't find the book. The book does not have, this book has the details of some of these points. But this is my summary to make very clear to your mind what it means a Prophet as a teacher and what it means other people's teachers. The difference, you know, it's my own experience and my learning. This is not how the book is. So I will select something to support those ideas. This is a philosophy. This is not the history. So always make a difference. What I'm teaching, what I've been teaching since morning is a philosophy. You know, an idea. It will help you. But this is not what is, you know, this is, you know, not how the book is written. Book is different. Yeah.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. I just want to clarify what exactly you mean by Muslim teaching. Do you mean how Islam is being taught, or do you mean the practice of teaching in Muslim settings, which,
you know, well, how Islam is taught by anybody, but also by Muslims. You know, when people teach the Quran, they teach the fiqh, they teach the hadith, what they do really, just tell me really. Most time they just pass on the information even without processing through the reason. It's a weak teaching. Sometimes if there are some people, good people, they do reasoning, but it's still not exactly as the Prophet used to do. Because prophets want to create a will in you to act upon it. They don't do this thing. even if they're great thinker, the great, you know, faqih, but what will happen is you learn actually all the issues of the fiqh and you know the reasoning. Still you don't do anything. Prophets don't do this thing. Prophets actually have no concern. They just teach you, fill your mind with the information. Their purpose is to make you pious. That you act upon that. So most Muslim teachings at the moment, really, that's why people imitate Sufism. Because they realize it's a useless thing anyway. So now we have spirituality. Don't need anything like that. Just correct your teaching. Correct the right method. Follow the right way. You don't need anything. That's what people need to do. So the Prophet's way is not just, you know, fill your mind with information. Prophet's way is to, because the knowledge only is useful when people act upon the knowledge. So the Prophets are concerned that people, how to give the knowledge to the people, so then they have will, and will makes them to do. The meaning is Prophet make everybody their own guardian. Like in our time, many parents, they spy on the children. It's not going to make your child good. What you need to do actually is make your child his own spy, his own guardian. Teach the child things which can make him conscious all the time really how to be good. That our Prophet do. The Prophet have 9 wives, but he does not spy on the wives what they do in his absence. No. He has made them so good, they do independently. They ask him when they need, but he does not spy upon them. In our time, people spy and this, and the reason is because you don't have good teaching. Make people strong. That's what good teaching. Good teaching means a person. Meaning is prophetic teaching means makes a person. Non-prophet teaching makes a skill. Is it clear? This may be another way to understand properly. People who are not prophets, when they teach you, they teach, train in a skill. Prophets train in a person. They make a person, not a skill. This is a big difference. They make a human being. Prophets develop your personality. They make your person. Other teachers, what they do, they give you a skill. Like I know Arabic grammar, I give you a skill of Arabic grammar. I know how to write Arabic composition, I give you this skill. Most people basically they train you in a skill. Prophets train you in a personality. They make you a person, a wise person. There is a huge difference between both of them. With the skills, still you cannot live properly. You get all the skills, still you fail the life. What the prophets do, they make you a person. When you're a person, even if you don't have money, still you can survive. Your wisdom can make you to live with poverty and with nothing, still can make you. They give you, make your personality so strong, then nothing can defeat you. But other teachers, what they do, they give you skills and means and sources, but they don't work on your personality. You remain weak all your life. You become learned, you get a degree from Oxford, from Cambridge, still you remain weak. You know, no strength is there. Is it clear? This is the difference between prophetic teaching and non-prophetic teaching. Most people teach you skills. Prophets don't do that. They make you a good person. They train you in personality. They make, you know, person important. They want to make a proper person.
Yeah. Sheikh, if emotion comes from the heart, what is the relationship between the will and emotion?
You know, emotions actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. You know, the heart, I love to tell you, heart is really very, very very sophisticated. Heart is not only it makes will. Heart is a place where enjoyment also comes. Disliking also comes. Love comes. Hatred comes. So that's why emotions are also coming from the heart. But the thing really is, heart without reasoning, these emotions and feelings make heart very weak. Reasoning is the one make much stronger. When you reason, then you love, that's real love. For example, if you love someone because that person has a good face, that love is nothing really. Like this, many people fall in love, they marry, then they divorce. The reason is because that love was only just from feeling. It was not through the reason. When love comes through the reason, it always increases. Like I love Abu Bakr Siddiq or the Prophet. I never have seen, it's not a sentiment, it's not really something from emotion. It has come from thinking. So the way actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the world, the heart actually is center of all the feelings, all the love and all the hatred, so many things. It should be, heart should listen to the mind. If heart is independent of the mind, heart will be corrupt. Heart will never guide. Heart is not guided. Heart is blind. Heart does not know anything. If people do things because they feel, they basically stupid people, simply matter. If people do things because they feel, they're stupid. Don't do things because you feel. Don't do things because you desire. Don't do things because you hate or love. Anything which you can demonstrate properly and rationally. If you can't demonstrate something rationally, don't do it. That's why the mind is the biggest helper. Heart without the mind is useless. Meaning the heart is there, but it will do all the stupid things. Heart's function only becomes healthy when it relies on the mind. If heart does not rely on the mind, the function of the heart will be very, very bad. Just people think, you know, I feel, it comes to my heart. This is a very wrong approach. Whatever comes to your heart, it must be tested by the mind. Because mind is the one which has got power to judge something, to test the information. Heart cannot test any information. Testing of heart simply means enjoyment. If heart enjoys, it loves something. Does not enjoy, does not like something. Mind does not do this thing. Mind follows clear process. Test information. Mind is a different matter. Mind is independent of any test, any feeling. You know, if the people actually correct, if people use mind properly, mind is more objective. That's what mind is. So don't accept your heart without the mind.
Yeah. Can you please clarify the role of the teacher? You said that the teacher has to be very pure in their love, like the Prophet wanted to improve the character of his companions. So the teacher, you know, the teaching is a big responsibility. So is that what the teacher needs to have, a real teacher, to purify their intention?
You know, if they are as close to the Prophet, they'll be as good teachers. So if they don't have the same quality, they'll be bad teachers. You know, it depends, they're different level. Some teachers will be very good, some people less, different teachers. It depends how much you have got these qualities that is going to come. If people don't have those qualities complete, at least they should have some. If they don't have any of them, they're very bad teachers. Like most teachers in the world actually are bad. You know, most women are not a mother of your children. So they could be doing something for your child which you need, but they're still not mothers. Most teachers, their concern is only to pass on the time to teach you, to get their salary, get their money. If they're very good, they will be honest in teaching, but they don't really love you so much. They don't care, very, very few people, very, very, very few people, they love you. That used to happen in the past, but now actually more actually people, now they have introduced SAT. You know what SAT means? Standardized, everything is standardized. So whatever somebody teaches in high school in this country, same teaching will happen in China and Japan, everywhere in the world. You know, that's what teachers, this is very, very bad teaching really. Teaching used to come from teacher. You know, every teacher used to be in the past different. Because I read a book which nobody else reads. So when in the morning I teach you, some wisdom from that book will be reflected in my teaching. Other people teaching the same subject will not say same thing which I say, because I've read this book. This is my observation. My observation, my wisdom, my thinking, my study should reflect in every of my teachers. Even if I want to teach Arabic grammar, you know, it should come from my study. But now what they have done, because they have reduced the teaching, that is certain skills. Everybody in the world can teach the same thing in the same manner, that's all. We don't need. That's why the exams are now, with the same standard, testing, marking the same standard, everything. Because the reason is, because they want to produce people of certain skills. They don't want to produce human beings. They don't want to make people person. They don't want to, create wise people. They just want certain skills to remain in the world, that's all. So basically, and those skills sooner or later will be done by the machines. So soon actually people will not know any grammar, because the computer will correct all the grammar mistakes. So grammar, you're learning grammar or not learning, it's useless anyway, because your computer will know more grammar than you. So human being will become useless basically. That is going to happen. It's happening already anyway. Human knowledge has been reduced. Human knowledge must be subjective. If you reduce human knowledge to become objective, it really insults the human being. If you make human knowledge just like meter reading, any stupid person can come and read your meter in the house. This is what knowledge means, to read the meters. Machine. This is what we think the human being is really. Human knowledge must be subjective, meaning what? Human knowledge must be coming from human judgment. If knowledge does not come from your judgment, it is not knowledge. A knowledge which has got a parameter, yardstick, and people apply that like blindly, that is not a knowledge. Even scientists, their real knowledge is not, these observations. Their real knowledge is what they infer, where the mind comes, that real knowledge. You know, the theory that they develop, that their knowledge, not what they observe. Observation actually is just base, very basic. Objective knowledge provides some basic grounds. The real knowledge comes, real knowledge always must be subjective, subject to the human judgment. People should judge. Any knowledge without human judgment is superficial. Machine can do, but machine cannot do this thing. Machine cannot replace the human mind, human judgment. Machine can do really, machine can do all technical things, all objective things, but machine cannot do this, because this judgment keeps changing from person to person. Is it clear to everybody? Yeah.
The three books that were mentioned, are they in English?
Sorry, what?
The three books that were mentioned.
The books of Shaykh al-Fatah Buddar.
You know the books on...
Yeah, his book is this one, people say in English, Al-Rasul Muallim. Then he wrote Qimatu Zaman, Value of the Time. That is translated, I have written a foreword for that, for English one. So that I know in English. The big one, I don't think anybody translated. It is very big and Shaykh's language is very literary. So Shaykh did not write like, you know, newspaper Arabic. Shaykh al-Fatah Buddar, Rahmullah, used to write Arabic properly like a good writer. You know, take care of his words and sentences, you know, revising them, writing nicely. These people don't do this. Now people are so fast, they write whatever they like, as the, you know, like newspapers. His Arabic is not like newspapers. His writing is very, very good, man of literature. He knows how the words work. He's really very good in writing, very good, very eloquent person. Even his speech, when he says speech, like, you know, pulse coming from his mouth. He's such a nice speaker, speaking nicely, nice sentences, and good face, smiling, sometimes making jokes. So if you are attending his class, you enjoy that. You learn, but you also enjoy the information properly. So he was very good, very successful teacher. But the problem really in the Muslim world is asabiyya, prejudice. Because people labeled him that's a Hanafi and this and that. So people were not able to benefit from him properly. But he was a great man.
We have an online question as well. Could we use prophetic methods to better our own teaching and non-prophetic teachers? The childminder will never be the mother, but she can still care for the outcome for the child.
You know, thing really, what I'm trying to say is, you know, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, you know, people were not only raised under their mothers, they're raised under other people as well. Still, they are perfect people. You know, the Prophet himself was raised by Halima. She was not his mother. But what difference is? Difference is that they used to be mothers. Even if they are not mothers, that's it, but they are mothers. Meaning is they have same love, same affection. Child from the beginning needs a love. That's why even actually grandmother can raise a child. Even an auntie can raise. If they have same mother, same love, and child will not miss anything, child not feel anything. The problem really is when the motherhood has been reduced only for a few things which people say, but without a love, without care. Motherhood basically is love and care. If this love and care is not there, then maybe people do the same thing, but the child will not feel easy. He will grow with certain defects, certain problems. Is it clear? So the Prophet himself was not raised by mother. Try to understand. I'm not saying that, you know, none of mothers cannot do the role of mothers. No, because they can do. And the Prophet is example. He himself was raised by someone who is not his mother. But no, he did not miss anything. Because the you know, his milk mother, she was a good person. She was a proper mother. She took care of him. She loved him. And, you know, and she actually loved him so much that she did not like him to leave the house. Even when the time came, she still asked Abdul Muttalib if he can stay a little bit longer. So, you know, this actually, I'm not saying that people who are, other people cannot actually do the same thing. No, they can do. But it is more effort. It is not easy thing. It's not superficial. It really needs you to love your class, love your children, love your students, love the knowledge, love to take care of them, see what happens to them, what happens in the future, how they go. This thing really, your connection, your relation to your students. You know, students feel really that my teacher, when he advises me, he advises sincerely for me, for my interest, for my future. If they get this connection, yeah, you can be like a prophet. So, you know, we don't necessarily, we have prophets, but people can follow the prophets. Is it clear? But a simple thing I want to clear is, you know, someone who is not a mother, they also can play the role of the mother. Simple matter. But it needs more effort. It's not superficial. It is actually not simple.
Sheikh, how should we understand the end of Surah Taqwir? وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
You know, thing is really, because people think that someone can interfere the way Allah has made the world. Allah says no, nobody can interfere. It is His power, His will, the running. People think people can interfere, people can enforce. Nobody can do. And people think if Allah wants good, you know, how can He do? Somebody is so tyrant, you know, He can interfere. Allah says no, even Allah wills, nobody can interfere. If Allah wants to benefit you and you follow Allah's command, then don't worry, nobody can stop you. If you follow the Allah's command, you obey Him, and Allah wants to give you success, nobody can stop from the success. That meaning is, He's so powerful. Because, you know, for example, mother, mothers are not powerful. So for the mother wants to, good for her child, but a tyrant comes and kills the child in front of her, can't do anything. Allah is not like that. That's what Allah wants, that nobody can overcome His will. If He wills, and His will is under His command. When you obey Him, His will is with you. His will comes with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people follow His command, His will is there.
But does it also mean, Sheikh, that are we not also, we don't really have control over our will at all? Because it depends on Allah.
The simple is that the whole creation is under the hand of Allah. But we need to listen to Him. Our hearts, who made? So tell me, I have been facing so much thinking. Did I make thinking? Did I make my mind? Allah made them. So we depend on Allah. That Allah SWT keeps telling in the Quran, depend on Him. That's why you need to depend on Him, ask Him, and then obey Him. Trust in Him and then obey Him. That's how the Prophet's way has been. Trust in Allah and then obey Him. Then He helps you. But if you think you can create, it is not understanding the world. This world is not made by you. This world is only run by Allah's creation and by Allah's command. There is no second creator and there is no second commander. Everything under Allah's command and under creation. What you need to come to Him, listen to Him, depend upon Him, rely on Him, then you see, then nobody can stop you. That's what it means. Reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse actually is verse of tawakkul. Trust should be only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you trust in Him, you must obey Him. Because His commands and His creation cannot differ from each other. His commands are to help you.
Yeah.
Sorry?
What's your definition of hikmah?
Fitra. Hikmah. Hikmah basically is what happens, I'll tell you what hikmah means. People have got the desire. So people get the knowledge. But what happens? The knowledge always attacked by the desire. So do you have knowledge? But knowledge cannot be like shaitan, like enemy. For if your country and there's no boundaries, no army. Any thief can come into your house. If you have a house, let a house, you've got a house. No door, no gate, nothing. You've got jewelry, you've got all the things in your house. Any thief can come, any robber can come and take anything. But even if you don't know nearly who are enemies and this and that, nothing can help you. What hikmah means? Hikmah means something fortified. Hikmah means that ability which fortifies your knowledge. It makes knowledge effective. Because you know, it makes so strong that desire cannot attack it. It is so effective. So basically it is much more powerful than mere knowledge. So when the hikmah is fortified knowledge. Knowledge which is protected. Is it clear? Protected how? By the reason, by so many things really. And you know, control of the desire. Then people call hakim, wise. In our time, people teach knowledge but not hikmah. You learn, but your knowledge is subject to so many problems. So, but when you get a hikmah, then basically nobody can, your knowledge is trustworthy. Then people can rely on wise person can be trusted. But just somebody scholar is not necessarily a good person. He could have all the problems as anybody else. But when hikmah comes, then you basically, your knowledge is fortified. Is it clear?
So
hikmah means knowledge which is fortified and protected properly from all the harms and danger, which then can be secure knowledge.
So it's decisions, actions, thoughts,
yeah,
that have gone through this process.
Yeah, after this you become hakim. Like the prophets make you hakim. They don't just teach, prophets make you wise. If you follow this process, you become hakim, wise.